Police departments around New Jersey have as their foundation the call to protect and to serve. There are currently over 30,000 police officers in New Jersey. They are sworn to uphold that pledge. An investigation by the Asbury Park Press revealed that there are some police who are hostile toward those that they are to protect, which has resulted in financial and physical costs due to the actions of those police officers. Adding to this issue is the way the law enforcement leadership has actually protected some of these rogue cops. However, thanks to the series of reports by my first guest today, changes are now in the works. Here to discuss the situation which has existed and now it's about to be addressed is the Asbury Park Breaking News reporter who led the Protecting the Shield series of reports, Andrew Ford. Thanks for being here today, Andrew.
Pleasure to be here.
APP.com, that's a website for the Asbury Park Press. You can catch up on the series of stories, Protecting the Shield, and also the ongoing developments, with hopefully more to come. As the editorial in the Asbury Park Press said, what was announced this past week was a good start, with much more needed, as you'll see when you read the reports and the revelations that are in them. This was a long series, and it resulted in numerous reports. Andrew, what was the root catalyst? What really made you look at this and say this is something there's substance there, and we need to bring it out of the shadows?
Right. So this big project started with a classic beat reporting. I've covered police breaking news for a long time. And we noticed some odd things on the cops beat. The one that I think sort of got us going down this path is in May of 2015, I believe, we reported on a police officer, a former police officer who was found preparing to ingest heroin. And we later learned that he left his department through a kind of quiet separation agreement, that they knew that he had had issues with drugs before. So this got us interested in these separation agreement documents. We went out to try and get a whole bunch of these to see what we might be able to find, and that led to us asking more and more questions about issues that might be going on with the system, chasing other forms of public records to try and examine these issues, and eventually accrue into the giant project that you see.
And the frightening results when you look at, we can get into the body counts literally and figuratively as we go along, but the financial cost of the actions. And this is not an indictment of every single member of the police force in every single town, by the way, but there are numerous bad apples who are being kept hidden, with the sum total being over almost $43 million in settlements for cases including bodily injury by police, death, whistleblowing, civil rights violations, sex cases, false arrest, discrimination, unlawful searches, malicious prosecution, and the list goes on from there. How much of what was revealed through the series of stories had been challenging to get to because the system pretty much kept all that out of the transparency?
Well, first, I want to touch on a point you made that I think is important to stress, that this is not about all officers and. Myself and my colleagues have tremendous respect for the tens of thousands of men and women who serve our state admirably every single day. Our efforts are about making the system better, making it work as well as it can, and about taking a look at some issues that were costing taxpayers lots of money and leaving people hurt. I'm sorry, could you repeat your question one more time?
Just how transparent is the system, or how challenging was it to get to the facts of these cases? How much of this was either by policy or by preference attempted to be hidden from public consumption?
Sure. Public records laws in New Jersey are not what they are in other states. For example, here in New Jersey, you are not entitled to know the outcome of an internal affairs investigation. In Florida, I've worked in Florida, you can get that information. So that was one barrier to access. These settlements that we were reporting on, there's no state requirement to announce them to the public, and they are often obscured through non-disclosure agreements that bar the parties involved from talking about them. So there are elements built into the system to keep things quiet.
And that being kept quiet included police misconduct, which resulted in 19 deaths, 131 injuries over, I believe the span was 2000 to 2016. Am I correct with that?
2010.
Okay. And I stand correct on that part, but regardless of the time length, police action causing deaths and injuries, that is, that's not part of the police handbook for any way, shape, or form, and nothing can really be used to excuse all that. However, when you look at some of these specific officers, I mean, there are numerous cases where you have internal affairs records in the hundreds of pages about a single officer, repeated violations, known to be individuals who were known to be, quote-unquote, ticking time bombs that were just ignored. It's just shocking how you know, hindsight being what it is, how obvious what was being perpetrated was indeed just out there, and it was either ignored or the investigations were questionable at best, to the point where sometimes an uncle was investigating a nephew.
Yeah, sure. You're touching on a couple of different incidents. Let's say, for example, the Phil Seidel situation. He was the guy who had hundreds of pages of internal affairs documents that have not been released to the public. I did interview him. This is a Neptune police sergeant who shot and killed his ex-wife in broad daylight in a crowded residential area. So I interviewed him at length, looked at all available documents, divorce documents, things that were revealed through other lawsuits naming him, documents that he provided, for example, a couple of restraining orders that he and his ex-wife had filed against each other. You know, I laid all this out in a lengthy story so people can see for themselves, you know, what was going on with him, and decide what they think should have happened.
And that wasn't a standalone case. There are many just like that individual. Charlie and Andrew Ford, who's a breaking news reporter and lead in the series of Protecting the Shield, which has been featured in the Asbury Park Press. APP.com is the website where you can catch up on that story, on those stories. There's many of them shocking, frightening as they are, and learn also as well what is being done as a response to that, which we'll get into shortly. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. There were 531 officers named in suits alleging abuses, and as best that you could figure, at the time that the last story was written, 231 were still on the job, and those who, quote-unquote, retired or were tossed off, their past performances are now a part of public record. So theoretically, they can go to another town or city and once again become a law enforcement officer.
Yeah. So there's a couple different areas of records here. So there are, you know, allegations made in lawsuits against police officers, and those we totaled up to, you know, $42 million and 19 deaths and more than 100 injuries. And there are also these separation agreements whereby officers who face some kind of allegation of wrongdoing or some kind of potential discipline, they agree to quietly part ways with their department. And very often in those separation agreements, the arrangement is that the department will not tell future employers about what was going on with this officer. They'll just, you know, let's say, for example, confirm the dates of employment. And I did identify three officers who left their department under those terms and went off to continue their careers in law enforcement elsewhere.
Incredible. And as I said, the result of your work and those with you are producing changes. Again, your editorial in the APP said a good start, because for you listening, when you read some of these stories, a lot of changes have to be done. But the Attorney General this past week did indeed issue two directives. What were they?
Sure. So this week, the Attorney General mandated that police departments will conduct random drug testing. We had reported that there were more than 100 departments that did not have a policy for random drug testing. So as of this week, now they're going to have to do it. The Attorney General also rolled out these early warning systems for each police department, whereby if an officer hits one of 14 different criteria, at least 14, a chief could choose to add more. But these are things like if if evidence they collected is suppressed by a court, if there are unexcused absences, if he's found to use excessive force. If he hits three of these things in a year, then his supervisor has to come up with some kind of remedial action, and that has to be announced to the county prosecutor's office. So there is that extra layer of outside oversight.
I know there's some voices out of the State House who are calling for licensings of police officers to make dismissal easier.
I think it's more about, if an officer is found unfit to serve in one place, that system would make it so that they can't go elsewhere. Like, that's how it works in other states.
Right.
Similar to maybe how a lawyer or doctor can be barred from their profession. The Attorney General said that he'd be taking a look at licensing, and there were some state lawmakers who were looking at it as well.
Just to wrap things up, has there been any response from any police union organizations? Do you feel safe driving up and down the Garden State Parkway, not thinking there's a bullseye and, of harassment on your back? Have you gotten any heat from anyone because of the work that you've done?
Well, I think the state of New Jersey is safer as a result of the work that we've done. I have not heard any response from the state police union, let's say, since we reported on this. We did speak to them before this series was published, and they were supportive of some of these elements. For example, he was supportive of the random drug testing.
Well, that's good to hear, too, and it was fair on you, too, that you didn't – they can't claim they were blindsided by all this, that you approached them in the time frame that you did. So props to you on that, and what Andrew and his fellow reporters did in the series reports with the Asbury Park Press, it's shocking, yes, but that shock is resulting in a proactive effort to change things for the better to make sure that all the police officers, all the members of law enforcement are indeed living up to that, to serve and to protect, not just a motto, but it is their prime directive and the philosophy by which they all live by, work by, and serve all of us with. You can read more about Protecting the Shield, the aftermath, and the results that are developing and already are going to be in the process of being put in place at the Asbury Park website, APP.com. He is the breaking news reporter and the lead in the Protecting the Shield series of reports, Andrew Ford. Andrew, congratulations on the fantastic, difficult, challenging job that you did bringing the truth out. It's kind of sad to say that it takes an effort to get to the truth, but you made that effort. Congratulations on doing that, and we all appreciate it, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.